in Mitzi 86b that deals about the destruction of Sodom with this week's parasha.
Oh, wow.
The destruction of Sodom in 86b. And also it deals with the whole parasha. The whole parasha of the week. Parasha Vayera is over here. Yeah. Interesting Gemara over here. What did Avraham give them? Abraham's deli. Matthew, what did he give them?
What page are we on?
86b2.
B2, okay.
What did he give them? Abraham's deli. He served the Malachim. Look at the bottom of 86b2 on the bottom.
Yeah.
Where it says the Gemara challenges. You see that?
Nah.
Yes, on the bottom, on the left side, the Gemara challenges.
Oh, the Gemara challenges.
Vayika chema v'chalav. He gave them cream and milk and a roast beef sandwich. Is that kosher? Which he had prepared. And he placed it before them, and they ate, right? Look at the top of the page. The Gemara answers, what do you mean, calves? How could a person eat a whole calf? How come the Talmud doesn't ask if it wasn't kosher or not? How do you give milk and a roast beef sandwich, huh? But how do you give a whole calf to a person? He didn't know they're angels. What does the Gemara answer of them? The kama kama the maita. As each one became ready, he brought it before them. What does the Gemara ask? You have it, Matthew, the right side on top?
Yeah.
Why did he need three calves? Huh? I mean, they must have been very hungry.
Right.
Would one calf not be enough for one person? I mean, for three. Tis gebechad. One certainly would be enough, no? How many people can eat eat a calf?
They're angels, they got big appetites.
Omer Rav Chanan bar Rava, no, kidei lachilon sholosh shoinosh b'chardal. In order to give each one tongue with mustard. See that? Abraham's deli. Woo. Why tongue and mustard, Avram? Footnote 15. You see that, Matthew? Why tongue and mustard?
Yeah.
Why?
A delicacy of kings and princes.
Oh, you see it better than pastrami? I like pastrami better.
I'm kind of with you.
I like pastrami better, but some people like tongue, right? Now, the Gemara wants to know, the Gemara cites another teaching regarding this banquet. Omrav Tanchum, lo'olam al-yishana oda min aminag. A person should never deviate from the custom. When in Rome, do of the Romans. Shrei Moshe ola lamorim. Moshe went up to heaven, lo'yochal lechem. He didn't eat no food in heaven, did he, Moshe?
Right.
Malach Hashoris Yerod Lamata. The ministry angels descended below to this world, and they did eat. So the Gemara says, "Ba'ochu sal kedata." Do you really think that it's conceivable that they ate? Angels are not human; they don't eat. Ela ema niru kimish ochlu. They appeared as if they what?
Ate
and drank. It looked like that, but it wasn't really, huh? Whatever Abraham did for the angels himself, God did for us himself. Whatever Abraham did through an agent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for us through an agent as well. What does that mean? Look at footnote 17, Matthew. Can you read footnote 17?
Sure. Anyone who bestows kindness upon others will be paid back in kind. When the three angels descended to this world, they had, as it were, nothing. Abraham brought them into his home, fed them several courses, arranged water for them, kept them company, and escorted them on their way. Each of these kindnesses is deemed a loan made to God, for he who gives graciously to the poor makes a loan to Hashem. God repaid Abraham back in the very same currency, in accordance with the end of the same verse, and that which he has given, he will pay him back. It is for this reason that Abraham's deeds are described in such detail. The Torah could have simply written that he invited the guests, fed them, and gave them something to drink. God scrupulously rewarded Abraham for every single action.
How? How? Look in the text and you see, back in the Gemara now. The Gemara proceeds. You have it?
Not yet.
Back in the text, the Gemara proceeds to list the examples. Why it's important what Abraham did for them. Who cares what was on the menu? But we need to know, mida keneged mida. What does that mean, Avraham? Mida keneged mida. What goes around? Ba'alboka rots Avraham. Abraham ran to the cattle. Remember, the Torah opens up the parsha? And we find by the Exodus, a wind went forth from Hashem and blew away the sea. and brought them what? Remember? This is verse 19, Matthew. What happened?
It says it brought them cream and milk.
No, what did God give us? Look at verse 19. Abraham gave them cream and milk, right?
Quail from the sea.
But God brought us quail from the sea, right? It's just that Abraham personally brought meat for his guests and not send an agent. So did God not employ a human agent providing Abraham's descendants with meat in the wilderness, right? He took cream and milk, and God said, I shall rain down for you bread from heaven. That's manna, no? Footnote 21. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Want to read that? Even though Abraham said, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah, want to read it?
Sure. I will fetch a morsel of bread. The manna did not come in the merit of this, but rather in the merit of the cream and milk he brought. Although conceptually, manna is more like bread than it is like cream or milk. Nevertheless, the bread was never actually served, for the Gomorrah states below that it became ruined in preparation.
You hear this? Sarah baked the bread, but he never served it. Why? Stay tuned. Why didn't he serve it? Okay, we'll see. Abraham stood over them and they ate. The Malachim did that. So what did God do for us? The Gemara wants to show how Midah keneged Midah. What Abraham did for the guest, Hashem did for us in the Midbar. What goes around, comes around. On 86b3, we're doing the Gemara, Bav Metziah, number 2. Bav Metziah, 3 stars, number 2. 86b3. On top of the page, you have it? I shall stand before you on the rock, Hashem said to Moses, remember? Abraham walked with the guests to escort them, Hashem holech. And God also escorted us. Abraham escorted his guests. So what did God do for us? God also escorted us in a pillar of fire, remember? In a pillar of cloud. Isn't that amazing? These are the examples of actions that were taken directly by Abraham or God. The following two verses describe action taken through an agent. When it came to water, what did Abraham say? Yukach no ma'at mayim. Let water be brought to wash their feet. Remember the parasha of the week? And you, Moses, shall strike the rock and water will come out and the people will drink. Look at note 27, Matthew. God thus
provided Israel with water by an agent, Moses, rather than doing so himself.
Why? Because Abraham also brought the water through an agent. Don't you see? What goes around comes around. Wow. What we do has cosmic repercussions. So Abraham served the guests directly. Hashem gave us the man directly. Abraham asked water should be brought through a servant. So Hashem gave us water through a servant. Who's God's servant? Moses, don't you see? Oh, wow. The Gemara presents a different view. You have it, Avram? Different view. Pligi de Rav Chama Bar Chanina. Ephraim, you have it?
Yeah.
Don Rav Chama Bar Chanina, v'chein depol rei Yav Yishmoel, v'schar shloisha zochu l'shloisha. In reward for 3 things that Avram did, the Jewish people got 3 gifts. V'schar chema v'cholav zochu l'man. You hear? In reward, Abraham gave them yogurt and milk, so we got the man. In reward, for he stood over them, we got the pillar of cloud in the desert. Remember the pillar of cloud in the desert? Which similarly stood over the Jewish people. In reward, for let some water be brought, the Jews merited the magic well of Miriam. What's that all about, the magic well of Miriam? Matthew, what is that? Footnote 29. Don't you know Miriam's well? What is that?
Let's see.
Footnote 29.
Miriam's well was a rock from which water miraculously flowed, which accompanied the Jewish people during their sojourn in the desert.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know.
Good thing you hear today.
Is it the rock that Moses hits? And
that's the rock.
Oh, okay.
That's the one. This is the rock. Go ahead.
This is the rock that was struck. Oh, it's over there. This is the rock that was struck by Moses in the verse quoted above.
Wow. Both Rabbi Yehuda
and Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Chanina,
agree
that Abraham's cream and milk led to the manna and that this water led to the well of Miriam. Their dispute centers on the verse, and Abraham stood over them. Rabbi Yehuda contends this led to the appearance of God in Horeb in Exodus, while Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina holds that it led to the pillar of cloud that comforted the Jewish people in the desert.
Okay. So let's back into Gemara now. So what's the point of the Gemara? The Gemara wants to know, Avraham, why the Torah has to give the menu this week's parsha. Why even care what the menu is? The Torah is not a history book.
Yeah, to connect Abraham.
To show whatever Abraham served the Malachim, God served us.
Yeah.
In the Midbar, in the same way, Rabbi Yaakov. You hear what's going on? What goes around?
That's very deep.
We have to understand that.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. Now back in the Gemara. The Gemara cites several verses related to Avram's banquet.
Oh.
Avram told the angels, let some water be brought and wash your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And sit under a tree. Huh? Armelo, the angel said to him, why have you asked us to wash our feet before entering your tent? Huh?
Hey, but they didn't enter the tent.
They didn't. He didn't even invite them in. So that's the same question. Why did he not invite them in, Avram? Why didn't you invite them in? You said stay outside under a tree. Well, he's afraid that they're Getchke guys. Oh, do you then suspect us of being Arabs? Maybe they're terrorists. Oh, maybe they'll blow up the house. Shehem mishtachavim avak ragleihem, who bow down to the dust of their feet as a form of idolatry. Did you know that? Look at note 30, Avram. Can you read that? Note 30. No, the three angels.
The three angels
indeed appeared to him
as Arabs, and Urim did not want to introduce any idolatrous matter into his house.
That's why he didn't invite them into his house.
The Arabs of Abraham's there were nomadic people who traveled frequently. They worshipped the god of the roads, and thus view the dust of their feet as the residue of the roads, as something to which they bowed down.
Isn't that from Sugar? But anyway, so anyway, Kavar Yotzei Meni Yishmael. Who comes from Abraham?
Yishmael,
right?
Doesn't
Yishmael what?
Yishmael is an arm.
Yishmael what? What don't you understand?
Because Ishmael,
yeah,
the father of the Arabs. So how?
No, there were Arabs before. He was a certain tribe only. Look, there were Arabs before, no?
Yeah, it looks like maybe the Arabs from Esau.
Arabs, no, Esau wasn't born yet. This is the Arab who lived in that country. Anyway, another teaching, Ariel of Hashem, Belone Mamre. How does the Parsha open up, Ephraim? Another teaching. Parsha of the week, how does it open up, no? Another teaching on the top side there, right? Mamre. Behu Yoshev. Behu Yoshev Petach Oel Kachom Hayom. That's how the parsha opens up, no?
Hashem appointed him in the plains of Mamre while Abraham was sitting in the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day.
That's how the parsha. Ma Kachom Hayom. What does Yom Kachom Hayom mean? Omer Achama Barchanina. Ota Yom Yom Shlishi Shalmila. That was the third day after Abraham's bris. Did you know that?
The third day.
Yeah, look at 33, Matthew. The third day after the bris is when the wound is most painful. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And the patient is most weak. and God came to visit him. And God came to do a Bikach Olam visit. Do you hear this, Avraham? God came to do a Bikach Olam visit. Visit the sick. Did you know that or no?
Yeah.
You hear what's going on here or you don't? God came to visit the sick.
Yeah.
There's a famous question here, Matthew. Three angels came to him.
Yeah.
Gabriel came to destroy the city of Sodom.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Michael, he came to announce the birth of Yitzchak and to save what, Lot? No, mix up. Let me get it straight. A Malach cannot do, you see, a Malach has a very strong union.
Yeah.
A Malach cannot do more than one
mission.
They have a very good union.
Mm-hmm. Union.
So therefore, God sent three angels. He sent the Malach Gabriel to destroy the city.
Right.
He sent the Malach Michael to announce the birth of Yitzchak. And he sent the Malach Raphael to heal Abraham and to rescue Lot. So Matthew, what about the union?
But he didn't do them.
What about the union?
One Gabriel, second. Michael, what was the third one?
Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, right?
Raphael was to heal Abraham.
Yeah, let's Raphael. Take a look at the Rashi inside, how Rashi explains it inside.
I just read that this morning.
To let's heal take a look at Rashi inside. One second. Look at the Rashi inside.
What else did Raphael do besides heal Abraham?
Let's see what Rashi says.
He healed Abraham.
Let's look at Rashi inside.
And
why did God send three angels? Why Dafka three angels? So take a look at Rashi. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Yasso.
Shalom
Aleichem.
Where are we?
We are on page 46. Why three? Page 46, Pasuk Bet. Page 46, Pasuk Bet. You want to read that, Rashi? Avram, you see. Hine shlosha anashim. Three men. Why three, Avram? Want to read the Rashi there, or you don't?
46, yeah. 46 Bet.
Rashi Bet on the right side. Why three?
Three missions.
Page 46, Bet. No?
46, Bet.
What does Rashi say? Comma, one to announce to Sarah the birth of a baby. You counting?
Yeah.
And one to destroy Sodom. Ve'echad l'rapot et Abraham. And one to what?
Heal Abraham.
One to heal Abraham.
It doesn't say nothing about God here.
She'ein malach echad oise shtei shlichos. One malach is not permitted to do two separate missions. So you needed three. One to announce Sarah, one to destroy the city, and one to what? Cure Abraham. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you look further on in the Rashi, Ephraim, Urifoyel, you see? See my finger where it says Lakama Yutes in parentheses in the middle of the Rashi?
Okay.
In the middle of the Rashi, Lakama Yutes in parentheses.
Yeah.
What's the next word?
Raphael.
Go ahead, Ephraim. Raphael. The Malach Raphael. No, read.
Sherifet
Abraham.
Get to heal Abraham.
Halach Misham. He went there.
Lehatzil
et Lot. He went there to what?
To rescue Lot. Lehatzil.
To rescue Lot. So, wait a minute. Isn't that doing two jobs? Won't the union object?
Yeah, that's,
So look at footnote Zion. In Sifsa Chachamim, Matthew, footnote Zion. Okay, he'll read it for you, Ephraim. Footnote Zion, no?
Yishev.
No, footnote Zion, Sifsa Chachamim. Ulekach, no, Ulekach. Lukach loyhevi gam malach revi. Why didn't he bring a fourth malach? Lahatzil es Lot. Why didn't he bring a fourth malach? Won't the union object?
Yeah, that's it.
Kiven de ein malach echad oise shtei shlichos. One angel is not permitted to do what?
To action, to mission.
So what does the Sifsa Chachamim answer, Avram? No? Refuah.
The Hatzalah.
Chadhu. Refuah v'Hatzalah Chadhu.
Yeah, that's one.
Curing and rescuing is one mission, so the union will not object. You get it? Refuah v'Hatzalah Chadhu. Curing Abraham and rescuing Lot is really not two missions. Because when you cure somebody, don't you rescue him?
So again,
good kazup, good kedarshin.
Gabriel was to destroy Sodom.
Gabriel was to nuke Sodom.
Right.
Michoel was to announce the birth of Yitzchak.
To Sarah?
To Abraham. Sarah too, right?
To Sarah and Abraham, right?
And Raphael, he had two missions, it's really one. His mission was to cure Abraham.
Right.
And from there he went to save Lot. From Hiroshima, remember?
Yeah.
So the Sifsa Chachamim asked, how come he didn't send the fourth Malach?
Uriah.
So the answer is, because Refuah v'Hatzalah Chad. I'm going to ask you a bomb kasha.
So he's saying that saving Lot and healing and saving are the same thing.
That's correct. Sifsa Chachamim, therefore, a fourth Malach was not necessary.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yaakov, I'm going to ask you a bomb kasha. You have a sharp pencil? Before the Malachim came, who came to visit Abraham?
Before Hashem.
Hashem.
There's one profession that God calls himself in the Bible.
Yeah.
Ani Hashem Roifecha.
Yeah.
I am God, your MD.
Yeah.
That's why every Jewish mother wants her son to be my son, the doctor. There's one profession that God calls himself in the Bible. Ani Hashem Roifecha. Matthew, what's the question? Louder, louder. Matthew didn't hear your question.
Why Hashem didn't heal Abraham in this moment?
Who's a better doctor than the boss?
He said his intern.
That's the only profession that he calls himself in the entire book. Ani Hashem, that's why, you know, Jewish mothers want their son to be a doctor. So what's the kasha, Aaron? Can you repeat Ephraim's kasha?
The question was why the two jobs...
No, that's not the question. Ephraim, repeat the question, please.
Why Hashem didn't heal Abraham?
Hashem came
pure,
first.
Pure.
Who's a better doctor than Hashem?
Sent Raphael.
Why did he send Raphael to do it? Why send an intern when the...
You can say it's a question on anything. Why did Hashem
But God
Raphael?
Came himself to visit Abraham.
No.
Bikir Cholim. Who's a better doctor than God? So the answer is as follows, Matthew. If God were to heal Abraham, I might make a mistake. I might think that only Dr. Schwartz has to do Bikur Cholim. If I'm not Dr. Bernstein, the no mitzvah Bikur Cholim applies to me. That's what I might think. That who has to visit the sick? Only a doctor. So therefore, God purposely did not cure Abraham to teach that even though you're not a doctor and you can't cure, the mitzvah Bikur Cholim still applies. It's a powerful message. Why God did not cure Abraham. I would think that only a doctor has to do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. To prevent that mistake, God purposely did not cure him, but he sent Malach Raphael. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we're back in the Gemara. We're back in the Gemara now.
So he sent an agent instead of curing him himself.
Because if he would have cured him himself, what would people say? Only Dr. Schwartz needs to do Dr. Kildare. Remember Dr. Kildare before your time. Dr. Kildare or Dr. Ben Casey.
Ben Casey. Okay.
Ben Casey, remember him?
Oh, there was another one, though.
Dr. Ben Casey, no. Marcus Welby, M.D.
Marcus Welby.
You don't remember? Also now?
Yeah.
How old are you?
40.
Oh, before your time. Marcus Welby, M.D. Doesn't remember, huh? If you're not Dr. Marcus Welby, Shalom Aleichem, then maybe you don't have to do a Bikur Cholim. Maybe you don't have to do it. Don't confuse me. So therefore, God didn't want to confuse us. He purposely did not heal to prove that even if you're not a doctor and you can't heal, there's still a mitzvah Bikur Cholim. We're back in the text in the Gemara, Matthew 86b3. You have it?
On the page. I don't know.
Okay, we're back in 86b3. So God came to visit the sick. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu took the son out of its holder. Remember that? You have it? The Holy One, blessed be, took the sun out of its sheath.
Yeah.
And let it blaze on the earth, on the right side. Why did God do that, Ephraim? Why did God do that? So that the righteous Abraham should not be bothered with what? Well, yes, look at note 34, Matthew.
34, here we are.
There would be no passerby to invite into his tent.
No.
Nevertheless, Abraham went out of his way to obtain guests. He sent his servant Eliezer, you have it?
Yes.
To go outside to look for people to invite in. Eliezer went and looked but could find nobody.
Yeah.
He reported back to his master. So his master said to him, I don't believe you. How could he say that? I don't believe you. I don't understand this. Footnote 35, Ephraim.
No.
I don't understand this.
Eliezer was a wise and righteous man and a leading disciple of Abraham. Nevertheless, Abraham thought he might be lying.
Why?
Wow. In order to spare him the trouble of dealing with guests at such a difficult time.
When he's undergoing such the pain of the circumcision. Maybe he thought he's lying to him.
Eliezer was also circumcised the same day?
Yes, all of them. The Torah testifies, the end of the last week's parasha, that everyone in Abraham's household had to do, ouch, bris milah, everyone. If you own an Eved Kenani, you have to circumcise him. Eliezer was an Eved Kenani.
Yeah.
So he also had a boo-boo. So he didn't want to be bothered. Maybe he's lying. Verstehe.
Yeah.
So back in the text now.
It's a good argument not to be bothered.
There's a saying, there is no credibility among slaves. He didn't trust the slave.
No.
So Abram went out himself. He saw the Holy One, blessed be He, standing in the doorway. You hear this?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh. But you can't see God, Matthew. Footnote 36. Can you see God?
No, he didn't see him in a physical sense. Rather, he saw prophetically the light of the divine presence standing outside.
Because God is not physical. So what does Abraham say to God? Al no sava mi al avdecho. My Lord, if I found favor, please don't pass by. Look at note 37, Ephraim. In this verse,
Abraham asked that God's presence not depart while he went to attend to his guests.
What's more important, receiving God's presence or taking care of three guests? What's more important?
Indeed, the Gemara derives from this verse the great merit of bringing guests into one's home. For Abraham left God waiting as it led to go and greet his guests.
Is that covered, Abraham? You left God waiting to go greet your guests. Look how much God loves people, Matthew. God overlooks His own dignity. People. People. That's what He loves, people. So He says, go take care of the hungry guests. God is moichel His own kavod. Because the ikir is ben odom lechavero. Are you with me on this? Judaism is a people religion. Love the other. Love.
Sorry.
It is. What? Fire away.
Yeah, remember a week or so, the question came up, so what about if a person's done, you want to have these collectors?
Oh, so you have to wait? This is the shiur that I want to deliver next Sunday at the OU. This way you have to come. So why can't I interrupt the middle of Shemayin Esrei? This is a shiur I want to give from Rav Soloveitchik, Bli Neda, next Sunday. Be there or be... He missed a good cheer yesterday. But next Sunday I'm going to talk about that. Why is honoring guests greater than honoring God? Is amazing. And if that's the case, why can I not interrupt the middle of Shemone Esrei to feed a hungry stranger? So everyone, just stay tuned. It's called a cliffhanger. You know what a cliffhanger is?
Later.
Yeah, next Sunday. Can you make a date on your calendar? Next Sunday. You won't be here, will you, Matthew?
No, I won't.
Oh, you're going to miss a good one. You can catch it on my website.
Okay.
You go to MP3, you know. Okay, so stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are we now? Back in the Gemara now.
2 o'clock. Be there or be square.
Sunday at 2. Be there or be square.
So it looks like there was Hashem waiting in the doorway and three other guests under the...
Right. So he left Hashem's presence. Isn't that incredible? He left Hashem's presence to take care of three guests.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the President of the United States comes to visit you and there are three beggars knocking outside. What do you tell the President?
If it's current President?
This is the President of the Universe! And he left God waiting in the middle. He put God on hold. Ooh. Look how much God loves a human being. See, God doesn't get hungry. People get hungry.
Another question, a practical question.
God said, I could wait. I'm not thirsty and hungry, but your guests are thirsty and hungry. Wow, who loves you, baby? What? Fire away.
In this old time, they also made the stitches after or they only cut?
Oh.
Is there something known of, like circumcision in a Shechem?
Yeah.
There also older men had to be circumcised so that the son could marry younger.
No, that was just a ruse to get them disabled. Don't you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
After Dina was kidnapped, Yaakov's kids made a ruse to disable the city of the terrorists to free their sister. Verstehe?
Yeah.
So back in the text now, we helping over here.
Now it's very strange how he goes on. As soon as he saw that Abram was tying and untying the bandages surrounding the air of his sink, he said, how he could open his private court in front of Hashem? What's going on here?
That's a good question. God saw the bottom of 86b3 on the right side. As soon as God saw that Abraham was untying his bandages surrounding the area of circumcision, he said, what did God say? No?
Word?
The bottom of 86b3 on the right side.
I got it.
He said, what did God say? It is not good that what?
It's not good man is to remain here.
Why not?
That's private what he's doing.
Oh, look at note 38.
Not to shame him.
Very good. The divine presence never entered Abraham's tent for this reason, not to shame him, but rather stood from afar. Isn't that incredible?
So, what's going on? He has three guests and he's opening his private door.
That's why the guests didn't want to come. Stay tuned. We're going to see in a minute. Stay tuned. Don't go away. Don't change the channel. Back in the text now on top of B4. You with me, Matthew? Left side. Something similar happened with the angels. It's written, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw. And behold, three men were standing over him. Then it says he saw again. What do you mean he saw again? It already said once he saw. See, saw? How come it says he saw again, Rabbi Yaakov? That's the Gemara's kasha. No extra words in the Torah. What do you mean he saw again? It said already once he saw. He saw, so initially they came and stood next to him. When they saw he was in pain, they what? What did they say? It is not good manners to remain here. And they left. So the second saw doesn't mean physically. He understood that they're moving away from him. That's why he ran after them. Don't you see? The first he saw, physically saw three guys there. Yeah. The second he saw them what? He understood.
Yeah.
He understood, or he saw them moving away.
Yeah.
They said it's not good to remain here, so they skedaddled. Mm-hmm. So what did he do, Matthew?
Running after him.
He ran after them. Yeah. Can you imagine this old sick man with the bandages? He ran.
Yeah,
he saw, so he ran towards them. Wow. Look at note 39, Matthew. This explains what?
Well, the verse says first that the three men stood over him, and afterwards says that Abraham ran to greet them.
If they stood over him, how could he run to greet them? Avram, if he stood over them, how could he run to greet them? Hello? What's the answer? They moved away from him.
Yeah.
Right? They said, let's get out of here. Look at this guy. You know, we don't want to trouble him. Huh? When they saw him in pain, they said, let's get out of here. So they left. Joe, they took a sherut, or they left. So therefore, Abram had to what? He had to run after them, right? He had to run after them. Who are these three men, Avram? The Gemara remarks. You have it? Who are these three men? Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. You have it?
Yeah.
Michael, Michael. Michael, row the boat ashore. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. You have it?
Yeah.
Why? Who's Michael? What did he do?
It's the ex-angel.
He came, Levaser et Sarah. He came to relay the good news that Sarah is going to have a baby. Raphael bought a rapid Abraham. Raphael came to heal Abraham, and also Gabriel, what did Gabriel come for?
To overturn Sodom,
right? So how come he had to come there? Look at note 40, Ephraim. Gabriel,
unlike Michael and Raphael, did not have to accomplish anything in Abraham's home. He needed to accompany Michael.
Because Michael was charged with saving Lot,
yeah,
and Gabriel could not destroy Sodom before Lot was saved.
Yeah. Thus Gabriel was not permitted to go out with what Michael, and thus he too arrived at Abraham.
Oh, he also wanted a sandwich with tongue on rye and mustard.
Oh.
Joe, tongue on rye and mustard? What am I, chopped liver? I also wanted to. The Gemara asks, it's written later, and the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Yet you said that only Gabriel went to overturn Sodom.
No.
Huh? So the Gemara answers, what's the Gemara answer? The verse refers to two angels because Michael went with him to save Lot. This explains the only one angel destroyed Sodom. It is written, and he overturned the cities. And it doesn't say they overturned the cities.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? It doesn't say he. Yeah, it says he. Only one Malach overturned the city, right? Vayapach et ha'or me'el. Doesn't say vayahafchu. Shmamino. Look at note 43. You see that, Matthew? Note 43.
Yes.
The general rule is
that one angel is not given two different missions. It is somewhat puzzling then how Michael was assigned both the heralding of good news and the escape of love. Tosfos suggests that one angel is not charged with two missions in one place.
However,
when Michael proceeded to Sodom, a separate mission was begun. Alternatively, Maharal explains that regarding this rule, there are only three kinds of missions: an assignment which is entirely beneficial, i.e. the bestowal of kindness; an assignment which is entirely destructive, i.e. the exacting of retribution; and an assignment which maintains the status quo and the natural order of the world. The rule merely means that an angel may not be given more than one kind of mission, but it may be given two or more missions of the same kind. Thus, Michael was sent for two entirely different beneficial tasks: to inform the barren Sarah that she would yet have a son, and to spare Lot from the devastation that raged around him. Gabriel was sent to exact punishment for Sodom. Raphael was sent to heal Abraham, and healing is something that occurs in the natural course of events.
It should be noted
that Rashi,
that I quoted following Bereshit rather than our Gemara, states that Raphael, not Michael, went on to save Lot. Rashi states that Raphael, the healer, God heals. Raphael means God heals. That the healer went on to save Lot. Healing Abraham and saving Lot apparently constitute what? A single mission. Because both were for the sake of a rescue. Okay? So back in the Gemara now. Maishnah the Gab Avram the Chsiv came Tafsik Hashir Barta. So the angel said to Avram, we'll do as you said, we'll come into your we'll have a meal with you, right? And whereas regard to the invitation of Lot, the angels would not agree right away. Why not? On top of the page in A1, you urge them very much. Why is that? Why is that?
No, that's a good question.
Yeah. What's the Gemara answer, Rabbi Yaakov? No, on top of the page. What's the Gemara answer? Omer Rabbi Elazar.
From here we may derive that one may refuse a lesser man, but one may not refuse a great man.
What does that mean? Look at note one, no?
And esteem polite to initially refuse the offer of another person. Thus the Gemara states in Brachos 34a that although if one is offered the honor of leading in prayers, he should demur first.
You hear this? If someone says you should be the chazan, first you should say what?
No.
No.
If the person making the offer is a great man, relatively speaking, then one should accede to his request immediately.
Depends who's asking you.
So if the rabbi says you should lead,
then
if it's a gabbai, you can argue with him.
Right. Right, Joe? Depends who's offering to you. So first, it's a little guy you should refuse, but if the person making the offer is a great man, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. And then one should accede to his request immediately, if not sooner. So back in the text now. So what did Avraham say?
Yeah.
Avraham said, I will give you what? I'll give you a piece of bread. That's what he said. That's what he gave them, Michael. He gave them a whole smorgasbord.
Yeah.
He said, I'll give you a piece of bread. You see the text?
Yeah.
And it said, well, Bokar Ratz Avraham, and Avraham gave them a whole feast. What do you learn from over here? Omer Rabbi Elazar, what do you learn from here? Mikan shetzadikim oimrim ma'at mosim harbeh. From here we learn that a righteous person says little, but he does much. The wicked, on the other hand, talk a good game. When it comes to doing, they're out to lunch. Minolan, how do we know this? That the wicked talk a good game, but when it comes to doing, there's nowhere to be found. Me'ephron. Remember Ephron who sold the cave of Machpelah to Abraham?
He has a graph
site. First he says, Ephron said to Abraham, a land worth 400 pieces of silver a shekel between me and you. What is it? Alright? Bury your dead. So it says, in the end it says, Avram listened to Ephron, and he gave him 400 pieces of silver.
And Ephron lost his vow.
The Lord shall come in, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, he talked a good game, but when it comes to doing, he exacted a great price from him. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at footnote 7, Matthew, second paragraph. Originally, you got it? You
know. Originally, Ephron had magnanimously that he had done that, told Abraham not to worry about the price. In the end, however, he greedily insisted on coins that would be negotiable as shekels in every land. Since there was an obscure place that referred to a centenar as a shekel, he took 400 centenars.
He wouldn't accept euros. No. The almighty dollar. In God we trust, all others pay cash. So Rishoyim, Tzadikim talk a little, Joe, but they do a lot. The wicked, they talk a lot, but do very little. You see what's going on over here? You know, do... Ksiv Kemach, look at the top of the page, A1. Interesting Gemara over here. A1, you got it, Matthew?
No.
Why not? The top of A1. When Abraham asked Sarah to make cakes for the guests, it's written that they should be made from meal. Kemach is inferior flour. And then it's written that they should be made of fine flour. Which one is it? And why is it important?
Because it goes to our idea that we want to...
No, read the text. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak.
Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, I don't see that.
Rabbi Yitzchak said, Sarah suggested meal, and Abraham suggested what?
Fine flour.
Why is that?
From here we may derive that a woman...
No, footnote 9.
Abraham ran in and told Sarah to prepare 3 kilo,
whatever.
Sarah asked him, should they be of meal? Abraham responded, no, fine flour.
From what do you learn from here? Top of 87, Abraham 1 on the right side. What do you learn from here?
No need fine flour.
From here we may derive, no?
That a woman is stingier than a man to a guest.
What?
That's what it says.
A woman is stingier to a man?
Than a man toward guests.
Wow. How do you learn that? Footnote 10, no?
Oh.
Matthew, footnote 10.
What about the Eshet Chayil?
1 minute, we'll get to it. Footnote 10.
Since she did not choose a fine flour on her own, she seemed less generous than Abraham, who did. Alternatively, it was Abraham who requested meal, and Sarah who said that she would use fine flour. Abraham knew she was a generous soul, unlike other women, which should give her an opportunity to demonstrate her generosity. He thus suggested she prepare an inferior sort of bread for the guests, and was immediately given the response he sought. No, she would give them the best. Now, if all women are... There's that word again.
Magnanimous.
That's it. If they're guests, there would be no point in Abraham's doing this. It must be then, as the Gemara states, that most women are stingy with their guests.
Most women are stingy with their guests? Eishes chayil miyimcha, la la la, la la la. Miyimcha, who can find her? Huh?
We're walking up in
right now. Now I see why there's a separate school for women. They probably teach her a verse about men. The men are stingy.
Who wants a woman?
What did he say?
Who wants a woman?
Marriage is
Sar Bali
Chaim.
Marriage is what?
Sar Bali
Chaim.
Sar Bali
Chaim. Oh, you want to fight? Get married. Who said that?
Yeah, right.
You want to fight? Get married.
That's the one.
Anyway, hard Gemara to understand, Ephraim.
Yeah.
Did you ask Rabbi Ackman my question?
No, that's why I'm sorry, I put you 2 books
on. No. What's the answer? Review the question.
He was a bit stumped with your question.
Yeah.
He was very pleased with footnote 10, who speaks about not to get Jews to get interest from the Gentiles and to do it also with the Jews after some time.
No.
To prevent you to get.
Yeah, but how could the Rambam say it's a mitzvah? How could he go against the Gemara?
I think it was something that is your question. He didn't. So I helped him to come out with the book of number 10. That was the end of the story.
So what are you showing me here in Bava Metzia on 70b1?
There's another footnote that you read at the end. It speaks about the same issue in 70b.
Yeah, okay.
About
You're
now with Abraham. I think this is very exciting what we do. I don't want to change your idea, sorry.
Oh, I think Rabbeinu Artscroll touches on my kasha, but he sidesteps it.
And also the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the whole issue.
One is related to pages for Gentiles. What is Dhamma that Akum? So Mishnah, one citing Mishnah as reading nothing. Indeed, as far as he states, the Gentile you may pay interest, we have therefore used the word Gentile, even with the term Akum. Lanochri, the Torah says Lanochri. However, Nachri, you know that Mishnah? The Torah says, well, Nachri Tashich.
Nachri is the same thing as Koyim.
Nachri is an alien. Not for Mars, a non-Jew is a Nachri.
Same thing as a Koyim.
You allowed to charge interest to a Goy, to a Gentile. To a Goy, you can pay interest and receive interest. Well, Nachri Tashich, to a Gentile, you may pay and receive interest. He skirts the issue. He skirts the issue. Our Mishnah teaches that as regard to Ribbis, a Ger Toshav is treated like a goy. You're allowed to charge a Ger Toshav interest. Did you know that? I always wondered about that. Thank you, Ephraim. Our Mishnah teaches you're allowed to charge a Ger Toshav interest.
Because a Ger Toshav is paying off, right?
Right.
You're allowed to charge him interest?
Correct. It's a good thing you came today. Mishnah 70b1 Bav Metzia. Our Mishnah teaches that as regards Ribbis, a Ger Toshav, a Noachite, is treated just like a Goy, since he is not in the category of our brother. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Our Mishnah teaches that as regards to Ribbis, an alien resident, a Ger Toshav, is treated as a Gentile.
And where is he treated?
You can charge him Ribbis, since he is not in the category of Achicha.
But they're your brother.
Not your brother, yeah.
Okay, are there certain instances where you have to treat a Ger Toshav as a Jew?
As far as doing favors for him, of tzedakah, yes. You have to give him tzedakah.
Anywhere else?
Yeah.
Look in the Rambam, look in...
You have to sell him trade for meat or something like that?
You can give him trade for meat. It's a mitzvah to give him trade for meat. Right? Unluckily, you give him trade for meat.
You can't give him dog food.
It's a mitzvah to give him trade for meat, right?
Hey, Matthew, how you doing?
Good,
how's it going? I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It was close. It was a strike. That must stay forever.
So our Mishnah teaches that as regards Ribbis,
yeah.
Our Mishnah teaches as regards giving or receiving Ribbis, a Ger Toshav is treated exactly as a Goy, since he is not in the category of what? Beautiful. Thanks to Ephraim, we have this halacha.
Are there any other cases where you have to treat a Ger Toshav as a Jew?
Do you have a mitzvah Chofetz Chaim?
No.
Do you have to say for Mitzvah Chofetz Chaim?
I don't know.
In your house, you should get it. It's a little book. I had it home.
Ah, it's somewhere at home, yeah.
Avram, you got to get it. Look at it. Hello?
What's that?
Hello? Hello?
Well, that's it?
You got to buy it. Mitzvah 38. Say for Chofetz Chaim.
What's it say?
Mitzvah 38.
What is it anyway?
Do what?
Stay away from me.
Yeah, it's mine.
Mitzvah 38.
These are two.
You got to get this book, Rabbi Yaakov Goldman. You got to get this book.
It's mine is at home. I'll give it to you.
The concise book of mitzvahs of the Chofetz Chaim.
That's all of them?
That's all of them. All today. Look how little. All that you can do today. More than half you can't do today. We're spiritually handicapped. We ain't got a temple. Matthew, we're spiritually handicapped. No temple. More than half you can't do.
It doesn't mention the mitzvah of the Kohanim also not?
No, we can't do that. Here.
This is 22.
He says over here.
22 far?
Scripture says you shall uphold him, the stranger, which means one who accepted the 7 Noahide commandments, that we have a duty to sustain him, that he may live along with you. And state it further that your brother may live with you. So he said there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to a Noahite. You ask him.
No.
You test him. Keep the seven, go to heaven. Matthew, you know what the seven are? Keep the seven, go to heaven, no? Pretty amazing.
It's a mitzvah to give money or to lend money?
It's a mitzvah to a guy is poor, even though he's not Jewish. If he's a Noahite, it's a mitzvah to give him charity, like it's a mitzvah to give a yid charity.
How many Noahites are in the world now? How many Noahites are in the world?
How many? Wendell Jones and who else?
Wendell Jones.
Anybody
else?
We know one. That's the fellow that's from Atlanta.
Jones died, didn't he?
He died?
I think Jones.
Wendell Jones died.
Ray was a Noahite.
Ray.
The guy He's also dead.
All the Noahites are dead.
Rabbi Schmecker, are Muslims Noahites?
I'll tell you.
Are Muslims Noahites?
The Rambam says a Noahite is only if he accepts the Noahite religion formally by a Jewish Besdin. Like Ephraim did before he became a Ger Tzedek.
Person just keeping the sentence of the name Noah.
No, it has to be done, accepted by a Jewish Besdin.
Really?
Wow.
That's what the Rambam says.
Otherwise, he's not a B'nai Noah.
Oh, he's not called the Ger.
How can that be since the Noahites were around before the Jews? Abraham was a Noahite.
Right.
Before he was a Jew. He was a
That's
Noahite.
The oldest religion. But once the Jewish people got the Torah, then the Noahites had to come to us. That's why Bilam hated the Jews so much. Yaakov Goldman hit the hammer on the head. You have amazing.
You hit
the hammer on the head. Why did Bilam hate the Jews so much? Bilam was a great man, a prophet. He was.
I don't know.
He was a prophet on the level of Moses.
Whoa.
He was bigger than Moses.
In a way. But how come he hated the Jews so much? So the Mefarshim say what Rabbi Yaakov said. He said, our religion is older than Judaism, Noahidism. Why do we have to come to you Jews to learn the Noahide religion? We don't need you. We've been around since Noah's time. And we've been worshipping the true God since then. The hatred, the envy, we have to come to the Yidden to study. We have to kowtow to you. Because the Halacha says that you have to come to a Yid to become a Noahite. So he couldn't fathom that. The hatred, the envy. We've been around a lot longer than Judaism. Noahidism is Noah. So we have to come now to the Yidden. You have to become our mentors. Who needs you? It's like a bone stuck in the throat. And before I should explain, that's one reason why he hated the Jews so much. Same story, the envy, the jealousy.
How many years of
resentment?
How many years
since Noah?
I know, but how many years?
Centuries before.
Before
Judaism didn't begin until much later, till the Torah was given.
At the Har Sinai.
2448 years after creation, and the Gentile religion is around since Adam, since day one. Judaism didn't arrive on the scene until 2,448 years after creation.
2448.
So mankind should have been practicing Noahide religion for 2448 years before Judaism ever came on the scene.
That's 500.
So now Judaism is here. We have to come to you.
500 years after the birth of Abraham.
Abraham was born in 1948.
Yeah.
Jewish state in 48. Abraham was born in the year 1948.
I'm 1 year older than Abraham. I was born in
1947. So, Rabbi
Sprecher? What?
So, Bilam hated the Jews.
That's one reason.
Because
Judaism teaches that once Judaism was born, the Noahide religion has to be filtered through Judaism.
Why?
Otherwise, you're out of the box. That's why he hated us so much. You, Johnny, come lately. We have to come to you. Where you been for 2448 years? He resented that. Resentment leads to hatred. Very good, Rabbi Yaakov. So we helping over here.
How come they have to come to us?
Because that's what God. We're the chosen people.
No, but B'nai Noah. What?
The Rambam rules that. That's the halacha. That after Har Sinai, different strokes for different folks. After Har Sinai, a Noahide can only be a Ger Toshav if and when he accepts the Noahide religion.
Through through
a Yiddish Bezdin.
But before that, they could
That was not a Yiddin. They had to just
keep the seven mitzvahs.
That's right.
And their own prayer. Right?
So that's why. That's why Bilam said they changed the rule on me. Remember Spiro Agnew? Spiro Agnew. He said they changed the rules on me. Remember Spiro Agnew?
Spiro.
You don't remember. What are changing the rules in the middle of the game for?
The Agnew.
Rabbi Noah, Spiro Agnew. Rabbi Noah, Agnew, and Nixon also. Nixon, very good.
Agnew went to jail for corruption. What did he say? Changed the rules on me.
Yeah.
Did he say that?
No, Rabbi Miller liked Agnew. He said that Nixon should live long, but Agnew would make even better president. He was working. Right.
So anyway, the Alpin over here. So we're back into Gemara now.
Yeah.
87A1, you with me?
Yeah.
The Gemara continues on the right side, second paragraph. It's written, Lushi Vasiyu God, make cakes. But then, he never gave the bread. Why? All he gave them was chema v'chalav. He gave them yogurt and cream and milk.
Yeah.
Cream of wheat. He never brought the cakes. Why?
No, but that's included in.
No! Why did Abraham withhold the bread? Wonder bread.
Where?
Not kosher.
Look at the text. It says he told Sarah to bake bread.
Yeah.
And make cookies. But he never served it, David. This week's parsha.
Oh, because she was in
Nida. Ah, beautiful. The Gemara explains. Ooh. Take a look.
I don't even have my glass.
So the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara explains. The student of Remeir, our father Abraham was someone who ate even ordinary food in a state of Tahara. You see that? So therefore what? That very day our mother Sarah became a Nida. And thereby the dough became tamei.
Wow.
This made the bread she was preparing tamei as well, and thus unfit for Abraham's table. Ooh. Look at note 15, you'll catch the point.
She couldn't touch the dough.
The dough became tamei. Footnote 15, Matthew. Can you read that?
She knew that she did it.
Footnote 15, in the middle, she got it. See footnote 15?
Yes. Although he could still serve the bread to his guests, who were not bound by the stringency, this would have created another problem. When Abraham was not serving the guests, he was eating with them to make them feel comfortable. It would have been improper for Abraham to purposely eat a different bread than they were eating.
So therefore, he decided not to serve it.
Does that have any?
No, not today. That's
today
not
is
today.
No effect at all. No. The biggest Hasidic Rebbe will eat food from his wife when she's in need.
Was this before? Was this before he got the information from the angels about her?
I guess during.
During.
So she became a Nida because she got her youth back. You know, she got her youth back, 90 years old.
She was 89 or 90 years old.
She was 90. She was 90, right?
Well, she was 90 when she had Yitzchak.
She was 91 when she had Yitzchak. She was 91.
She was in Nida. How come she made the bread?
I guess she got in the middle. The Gemara continues. They said, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. Remember that?
Yeah.
To make known that our mother Sarah was a modest woman. What does that mean? Footnote 17, Matthew. What does that mean?
She did not come out to dine with or wait on male guests, but modestly kept out of view.
Oh, they shouldn't gawk at her? She was a gorgeous woman, even though at 90. Huh?
Attention.
Yeah.
So in temple time, a woman in Nida.
You couldn't go to the Beis HaMikdash.
She cannot prepare food in
unless she didn't want to go to the Beis HaMikdash. If you wanted to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't. If you ate your wife's bread when she was a Nida, you couldn't go to the Mikdash until nightfall and go to the mikvah. You listening to me?
Yeah.
But if you didn't want to go to the Mikdash that day, you could eat the bread.
I could eat the bread, but then I have to go to the mikvah.
Well, you would have to go to the mikvah and wait till nightfall to go to the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, you could still eat while a person.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to go to the Mikdash. But Abraham, you know, he was on a higher level,
you know.
Right? So the Halpin over here, so Malach HaShoris knew where Sarah was, but what's the top of the page, A2? This is a very, very interesting Gemara, Matthew. 87, A2 on the left side, on top. You with me on this or not?
Yes.
But why then did they prompt Abraham to tell them that she was in the tent? Why?
They did so in order to endear her to her husband.
What does that mean? Footnote 19.
By inquiring as to Sarah's whereabouts, the angels implied that in all other homes in which they had dined, the lady of the house was visible.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, they thus indicated that Sarah was more modest than other women.
it is human nature that one does not appreciate the gift that he has in, does not appreciate a gift that he has in common with others as much as something that only he possesses. Abraham's appreciation of Sarah's modesty was thus heightened by the knowledge that otherwise were not as modest as she. Even though Abraham and Sarah were both well on in years, and even though they were both exceedingly saintly and solicitous of each other's feelings, there was nevertheless a need to endear the wife to her husband. We learn from this the far-reaching significance of domestic tranquility and harmony.
No matter how many years you're married, you have to compliment your wife every day. Honey, you're beautiful, you're modest. Abraham didn't know that Sarah was modest.
Yeah.
Tell her anyway.
Uh-huh.
Secret to a happy marriage. Never stop telling her how beautiful she is, what a wonderful cook she is, how modest she is, no matter how many years you're married. What a powerful lesson. You save yourself marriage counselor bills if you learn the Talmud. Compliment your wife constantly, no matter how many years you're married, so the marriage won't grow stale. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I'm home. You're beautiful. Huh? Wow, you look beautiful today. Huh? What did you do today? All of a sudden you start complimenting the wife. What would she say? Yeah. Okay, what did you do? No?
Something.
You know, the story with the Chofetz Chaim and the guest?
The Chofetz Chaim and the guest. Fire away, tell me.
Guest was, the Chofetz Chaim was visiting one of his Talmidim.
Go ahead.
And the wife was in the kitchen with a helper, woman helper, fixing everything. The wife had to leave for just a little while. And she already put salt into the soup. The helper didn't know it. She put more salt
in the soup.
So when the soup came out that night, the Chofetz Chaim was the first one to taste it. Well, the wife was in the kitchen. It was just the husband and the Chofetz Chaim.
Right.
When the Chofetz Chaim tasted it, he realized what happened. So he told the husband, it's a little salty, something happened back there. Don't say anything to your wife, just eat it.
Just eat it.
Just eat it and compliment her. So he ate it, and he couldn't hardly take it. It was so salty. But he ate it. The wife comes out. She sits down to eat. She realizes what happens. And he still complimented her because the Chofetz Chaim said to compliment her. He complimented her, but she realized what happened. And she apologized and took the bowls up and went back to the kitchen with the soup left over.
Okay.
So, in other words, but she didn't know that the Chofetz Chaim had talked to him.
Yeah.
So she put her husband on a high plane since he said nothing to her about it.
Now, the Gemara wants to know, why did they ask where Sarah is? The Gemara is not a storybook. The Talmud, the Torah, Matthew, is not a storybook. The Torah tells me what I need to know for the year 2011. Why does the Torah have to write that 3,800 years ago, the angels asked, where is Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
To teach you Derech Eretz. You hear this? That a person should inquire to the welfare of his hostess. A person should inquire as to the welfare of his hostess. The angels did this when they inquired after Sarah.
Yeah.
Teach me Derech Eretz.
But that's not a problem.
Teach me Derech Eretz. You listening?
Mm-hmm.
Now the Gemara has a question. Yeah. Wait a minute.
That's a good question.
Av Omer Shmuel. Ein shalom b'shalom isha klal.
What
is not allowed to inquire after a woman's welfare at all?
Yeah.
Why not? Footnote 23. Why not? Why not? Footnote 23, Avram. Why not?
Even though a third party.
Even through a third party. Why? The man and woman might form what?
An emotional attachment to each other through their messenger and only come to intimacy. In other words, what a person not allowed to ask how another wife's doing?
Oh, see that? Not supposed to. Because it might lead to what?
Intimacy.
To send greetings to Allah. This is actually codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. It's a Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. See the footnote Aleph there? It's in Hilchos Asira Bia and the Torah Shulchan Aruch. Eben Ezer. Wow. You're not supposed to inquire of a woman's welfare.
Mm-hmm.
But the exception is Al Yidei Baal Oshani. Read on. Back in the Gemara answers. When the inquiry is done through her husband, it's different. Then it's permitted. You can send a message to the husband. Ooh. Yeah. Alidei Baal Hashani. You see another base there? That's also the halakha. So you don't inquire, but through the husband it's permitted. You can send regards to the husband. Because then there won't be no hanky-panky. Right, Alan? Olive and Bays.
Then you never know.
The husband's always the last to know. Ayidei Baal Hashani, back in the Gemara. You have it, Avraham. The inquiry is done through her husband. It's permitted. Footnote 24. Look at footnote 24 of Yaakov. Can you read the footnote 24?
24.
In this case,
the inquiry is not directed to the wife through the husband. Rather, the inquiry is directed to the husband about the wife.
Meaning what? So you're allowed to greet the wife through the husband. What?
You're not greeting her, just asking her.
How's she doing? Or the soup was very good. What? Ayidei Baal Hashani. So you don't ask her directly. Greet her directly. Ayidei Baal through the husband.
No, but you can do it. I like this Gemara. To learn about their heritage, that you just don't send greetings to a rabbitson, but you can send greetings to the whole family.
Through the husband.
You say greetings to the whole family.
Okay, that's good.
And everybody and everything is...
I'm an Ezra Simon, yeah. Okay.
So can I say to somebody, how's your wife?
Through the husband.
Through the husband. Right?
Through the husband. But not directly to her. Well, not through the milkman.
What about the children?
Not through the milkman. No, just through the husband.
Heck, can hanky panky go through the children? They're more observant than the husband is.
Okay. Tosis argues, he goes even more. Look at Tosis. Tosis is more Haredi. And he dafke lishol ayah plainis.
What's he say?
Tosis says that you can just inquire about her, but to send her a greeting, even through her husband, is usher.
Yeah.
That's what Tosis says.
Yeah.
Tosis is more Haredi.
Yeah.
You can only ask about her welfare through the hubby. But to send her directly a greeting, even through hubby, is usher.
Yeah.
That's Tosis' opinion. But the Gemara doesn't show like that. The Gemara says, Ayidei Baal is okay directly, even a greeting. Okay.
Who do you follow?
Who do you follow? Tosis is more... from? So back in the Gemara now.
Nobody shows it. It's a sensible issue. That we have to be sensitive.
Right. We see how great is peace. Peace is so great that God changes the truth. Matthew, God changes the truth. Look at 87:8-2 on the right side. Where it says the Gemara continues. You with me on this or again? You don't have a book?
No, I'm with you.
Sarah laughed. I'm going to have a baby. My husband is old and washed up. But Hashem reports it that she said, I'm old. She didn't say, I'm old. She said, my husband is old. And God changes the truth and says that what? That she said that she's old. Why did God change the truth? Why did God change the truth? Ooh.
You can lie to keep peace.
Oh, beautiful. The Gemara explains, Matthew, greed.
The Gemara explains, it was taught from a Baraisa in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael, greed is peace, for even the Holy One, blessed is he, authored the
facts. God changed the facts to preserve peace.
For its sake. As it says, and Sarah laughed at herself, saying, after I have withered, shall I again have delicate skin, and my husband is old. And it is written, then Hashem said to Abraham, why is it Sarah laughed, saying, shall I in truth bear a child, though I have grown old?
Whoa.
Aaron used to a lot to keep his family.
Now, look at note 30. So God changed the truth in order to preserve peace. Who are you calling old? Abraham and Sarah would have had a lover's quarrel after 90 years of marriage. So God had to change the truth. Abraham, it is. Abraham and Sarah would have had a lover's quarrel. Otherwise, God would not have changed the truth. Who are you calling old? I'll show you. Give me some spirulina. Right, David? It'll perk me up. Footnote 30. You want to read that, Matthew? Second paragraph. It's difficult.
Sure. It is difficult to understand why Abraham might take umbrage at Sarah's description of him as old.
He was old.
Almost a century old. Furthermore, Abraham had described himself before in these very same terms. Shall a child be born to a 100-year-old man? Nevertheless, since Sarah's comment was liable to cause the slightest division between them, by Abraham hearing that she viewed him as old, God saw fit to amend her words before conveying them to Abraham.
This demonstrates
the depth of the responsibility to secure harmony between people and to suppress the remotest possibility of discord.
Wow.
No, but Abraham was half of his lifetime. So he was a young man in a way. He was like today somebody.
He didn't know he was going to live to 175. Did he know?
Yeah, but the lifespan in this time was like still 180. That was normal in his time.
Yeah. So why did he say he's old? He himself said he's old.
Having a midlife crisis.
Having a midlife crisis. What? Yeah. Now look what Sarah, when she had the baby, what does she say? The Gemara examines another verse.
Yeah.
You have it of Yaakov.
Yeah.
But the Gemara examines another verse, 87:82 on the right side. After the birth of Yitzchak, the verse states, what did Sarah say? Who could have told Abraham Sarah would nurse children? What do you mean nurse children? She only had one child. What do you mean nurse children?
Oh, geez.
How many children did Sarah nurse? How come it's written in the plural? She gave birth only to one.
Yeah.
So what does the Gemara say on top of A3, Rabbi Yaakov? The Gemara explains, you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Omer Rabbi Levi.
That day in which Abraham weaned Isaac his son, he made a great feast. Seeing the preparations, all the nations of the world murmured sarcastically about Abraham and Sarah, saying, have you seen this old man, this old lady, you brought a fondling from the market, and they say, is our son?
What do you mean? It's a forgery.
Not only that.
What are they saying?
Not only that, but they made a grand party to bolster their words.
That's right.
What did our forefather Abraham do? He went and invited all the great men of the generation, and our mother Sarah invited their wives. Now, every one of the wives brought her son with her, but did not bring her nursemaid.
Why not?
And a miracle
occurred. Why not? Look at note 33. Why not? They were not invited.
They may have done this in order to mock Sarah, as if to say, you claim you have given birth recently. If so, try to nurse my son. God wished to defend her honor, perform a miracle.
So what happened? A miracle occurred, and what happened?
A miracle occurred with our mother Sarah, and her breast opened up like two fountains, and she nursed all of the children.
Can you imagine that?
However, they were still murmuring and saying, perhaps Sarah is 90 years old and can give birth. But who says that Abraham at 100 years old can cause her to give birth?
Maybe he's a milkman.
Okay.
Immediately the facial features of Isaac were transformed and became similar to those of Abraham. And they all spoke up and said, indeed, Abraham begot Isaac.
Look at note 34. The verse reads...
34. The verse reads, and these are the offspring of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Now, since the verse states that Isaac was the son of Abraham, why does it repeat that Abraham begot Isaac? Rather, Scripture means to quote the unanimous testimony of all who beheld Isaac's visit.
They saw his face.
Abraham.
It's not Isaac. The milkman. It's Uncle Abe. He's a spitting image off the old block. Get it?
Wasn't Sarah tired after all of those babies?
Was she tired?
She had both things going at one time.
Yeah, see that? The miracle.
So she wasn't tired after all that?
Yes, Hashem gave her koyach. Nicely off koach. Hashem gave her extra koach, nachon?
Extra moon.
Extra koach, right? Hashem gave her extra koach. There's an amazing verse. Look at this week's parasha. I'm going to show you this. Yeah, but you test the books. Are there any books out here?
Yeah, we've got them.
This week's Parsha Vayera.
This is number two. Yeah, these are two star.
Page 47. You have it? You have a good book? Page 47?
Actually, here we are.
Page 47. Pass now the good book.
Gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anyone else need a book?
Yes, sir. Need just two more. Two more. Need one more.
One more? Page 47, Pasuk Yud Aleph. You want to read that, Avram?
47, Yud Aleph.
Second of the wide lines on top and bottom. 47.
Avraham, Vesara, Yekanin, Ba'im, Yamin, Adal, Leot, Vesara, Orach.
Abraham and Sarah, Zikanim, what does that mean?
They're old.
They came with their days. What do you mean they came with their days? Matthew, what does it mean they came with their days? That's what it says. They came with their days.
It means that they were showing age at that?
Wow, that's a good ending.
I don't know.
You know what it means? Not one day of their life was wasted. Who can... What's written on the tombstone of Abraham and Sarah? This is written. This is their epitaph. They came to the afterlife with all of their days intact. Not one day was wasted. They continued to grow. They continued to achieve and to accomplish every day of their lives.
What an honor. Where's our chief story?
They came with all of their days. Not one day was lost. That's an accomplishment. Torah testifies. Even in their old age, they didn't stop growing.
Where's the tombstone?
Sit on the rocking chair in the porch?
No.
And cut wood? What do they do then? No. They continued to progress, to grow spiritually, to accomplish, to achieve. They came with all of their days to the Olam Haba. That's written on their tombstone.
But where's the tombstone?
Right here. This is the living tombstone.
Where they are. Where's the tombstone?
Where's the Machpelah? It's written on their tombstone.
But it, under the Machpelah?
They're buried somewhere there. I don't know exactly where.
So the tomb.
Tonight is Rachel Imenu's yard site. 100,000 women are supposed to come.
Where?
To Cave of Rachel.
Good, I'll go there.
Tonight. 100,000 women.
But you said you were done with it.
I'm married. Listen, I said what I mean, but I don't stutter in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, write that down.
So, yeah.
That's a very, very important point. How many times I feel today I lost somebody a day or
right.
Whatever. I didn't learn enough, I didn't do enough.
That's a real accomplishment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's light your top candle tonight.
From Mama Rachel.
Okay. Yeah, yes, you can. Yeah.
Mama Rachel, yeah. So here Abraham bargains with God about Sodom. He bargains with him and he argues with him. That's why Jews are great bargainers. He even bargained with Hashem. How many people, righteous people, be in the city?
He got them from 50 down to 10.
He got them down. Look at page 49. And look what he says to God. Strong words. Look what he says on page 49. Pasuk Chav Hei. You want to read that, Abraham? You want to read that? Page 49, Chofei. This is Abraham speaking to Hashem.
Chalila lecha me'asos kedavar hazeh.
Comma, what does that mean? Chalila lecha.
God forbid.
God forbid you should do this thing, God. Do what? Lahom is tzadikim rasha. To kill the tzadik with the rasha. Voyeka tzadik rasha. And the tzadik will be just like the rasha. Chalila lech. It is sacrilege. Hashoifet kol ha'aretz lo yase mishpat. Shall the judge of the earth not do justice?
Mm-hmm.
You hear what Abraham said?
Yeah.
Now why did he say those words, Matthew, when God said take his son and kill him? There he doesn't say boo.
I know.
You hear my question?
Yeah.
There he doesn't argue. Here he argues.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
To kill his son, that was a command.
Oh.
Direct command to Abraham.
Right.
You don't argue.
When you get a direct command, you can't argue. Here it's not a command. God is asking his advice. Does God need Abraham's permission to destroy Sodom?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me?
Yeah.
You want my input? I'll give it to you. But when it comes to killing his son, Joel Siegel, God didn't ask for any input. The king gives you a direct command, there's nothing to talk about. That's the difference.
But Avram could have told him that you promised me a son.
That he could have said.
That with the appropriate many stars in the sky.
Yeah, and what happens to the promise?
And when he kills a son, there's
a promise. So he could figure, God can give me one son and give me another one, right?
Okay.
What's too wonderful for Hashem? But why was Abraham so concerned about these lowlifes? These degenerates.
They could do two.
Abram, why did he care so much about them?
He knew that Lot lives there, so at least one.
So why not mention Lot's name at all?
No.
Did he mention Lot at all? No. Why is he so concerned about these lowlifes? Why not just mention Lot? His nephew, right? Lived there. Why is he concerned about these lowlifes?
Today we speak.
What's
so much,
there's a message here.
Yeah, but I feel sometimes it's too negative. They say about this Chiloni, about the government and all that. Look to the positive. I say to Hashem, look what they do on Yom Kippur, and 1,000 and 10,000 people are praying for the rain now, and the rain came. So look to the good.
That's right. The rain came. The rain came, huh?
The rain in Spain. So
the answer is. Before this, maybe Abraham rescued them. They were taken prisoner. They were taken captive. Who rescued and freed them?
Abraham.
When you save someone's life, you're responsible for them from now on. Medrash says that.
You're going to?
That's why Abraham felt a strong connection to these lowlifes. Mm-hmm. He rescued them. Oh. He saved their lives, so he feels responsible for them.
They're going to, Rabbi? You say we're going to
be responsible for him. So therefore, Abraham felt that he's responsible for these guys since he had rescued them. When they were taken captive, do you remember?
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the message here? Right?
Why did he stop at sin, though?
Why did he stop? Rashi asked you, Kasha, Al. Good to Kasha. Why did he stop at 10? Rashi's Yom Mishpacha. So let's see why he stopped at 10. Rashi asked, let's take a look. Why he stopped at 10?
To survive.
Let me find the Rashi over here. Rashi Esther Kasha, page 50. Page 50, Lamed Bet. First, we're reading the text. Any volunteers? Page 50, Lamed Bet. By Yoimer, he said, Al no yochal Hashem. God, don't be angry with me. Vadabra achapam. I'm going to speak only one more time. Ulai, perhaps, Yimotzin Sham Asara. If there's found there 10. But Yoimen, God said, Loi Ashkis, I won't destroy Babur Asara if there are found 10 righteous people in the city. So now Rashi asked Alan's Kasha. Look at Rashi Lamed Bet, top column and 50. Have it, Avram? Top column, Lamed Bet, Rashi, right column. Ula Yemotzen Sham Asara. Perhaps there'll be there 10. Al Pochos Loi Bikesh. Why didn't he ask for 8 or 7? So less than 10, Matthew, he didn't bother God. Why? Omar, he said to himself, Dor Hamabul Hoyishmone. The generation of the flood, there were 8 righteous people. Who are the 8 righteous people? Noach, Ubanav, Unsheim. Noach has 3 sons.
And their wives.
And their wives is how much?
10. 8.
8. Veloyitzilu al doiram, and it didn't help. Noach, his wife, and the 3 sons and the wife. Matthew's, how many?
I'm sorry.
Noach?
Yeah, his wife.
It's 2.
That's 8 people.
And it didn't help.
Right.
So you see, it's useless.
But there's still a discrepancy between.
But 10 and 8. For 8. So why didn't he beg for 9? Okay, 8 didn't do the trick. Yeah, so he didn't beg for 8 because Noach was 8. It didn't help. Baal Tisha. So why didn't he beg for 9?
Couldn't help.
Why couldn't he beg for 9? Valtisha, Ayedei Tseiruf, Kivar Bikesh Eloi Matza. Because 9, he already begged and it didn't help.
When
do we beg for 9? Look at footnote Vav. No, Abram. Footnote Vav in Sitzach Echomim. Ki Bikesh Alboim Vachamisha. He had begged for 45. How many cities were there, Matthew? 5. How much is 9 times 5?
45.
So he begged for 45. Tishol kol krach. 9 to save 5 cities.
Yeah.
So therefore, that didn't help already. So therefore, he figured it's useless. Mm-hmm. Rashtay, why he didn't beg for less? A tzaddik counts his words, right? It's if it's not going to do any good, why even say it?
But you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Those extra words might help.
He said, God, don't be angry. Looks like he saw God was getting... He said, please, God, don't be angry. You know, like he's making himself like a...
Humble.
He kept bothering God over and over. He's bargaining with him. Huh? Taking up God's time. And God listens patiently. Hmm?
Is it not like that when a wicked city and you don't find them, you have to leave the place?
You have to leave the place?
Because you have too much influence and there is not enough, at least 10 people around you, or good people.
Yeah. So why was Lot spared?
Yeah. Oh, he had to scoot somewhere.
Why was Lot spared?
Because he was Abraham, he's related to Abraham, right?
So Rashi says over here. Rashi says. You have to go a little bit over because we're in Daven Mincha 1:30, right?
Now 1:30.
Yeah, so we have time. Why was Abraham?
How much longer are you going to go, Rashi?
Till Mincha. Mincha's 1:30 at the. Where's Mincha? 1:30 at the
Ramban
Shul.
There's a 1:00
Mincha.
1:30 Mincha. No? So let's take a look here. Why was Lot saved? You in a hurry, Matthew?
I'm tired.
You're tired. Okay.
You stole all that stuff. I enjoyed it.
All right. So join my website.
I will.
All right.
I'll probably see you later. I'm sticking around for the day.
You're sticking around. That's good. Okay. You're tired now. You can't hang on till 1:20.
Well, I'm up 1:20.
Yeah.
I have to do this at 2, right?
Yeah.
So I need to grab lunch at some point.
Oh.
So.
At one, okay.
I learned a lot today.
All right, good.
Thank you so much, guys.
Be well.
Good to see you. Good to meet you.
No, I'm out of here tomorrow. They ended their strike and the planes are flying.
Really? Strike is over?
Yeah, 4 hours.
It started at 6 o'clock and the court ordered it to end at 10. It was over 10 o'clock.
So what did it accomplish?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Except it scared me because I was afraid, like, what's going to happen.
You know what it accomplished? He sat in on the chair this morning.
See that?
If it wasn't for that strike, maybe they had that strike, so you can get this hour of tolling for Rabbi Strike.
That's right.
There you go.
You don't know.
I made the strike.
Take care, guys.
Matthew, the big boss got under control.
That's it.
I see this. All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. Be well.
Okay, have a safe trip back.
Join the website.
I will.
Okay, so why was Lot saved?
Mm-hmm.
You in a hurry, Alan? 1:30 is Mincha.
No, I'm going to be good. Even with
Why was Lot saved? Let's take a look over here on page the Halpin over here.
I'll be right back, Arthur.
Okay, is that a threat or a promise?
Yeah.
Rashi says why Lot was saved here. Take a look. Yeah.
Here. He did a miss.
Page 53, let's see. I mean, want to read that? Page 53 of Choptes, Ephraim. You with me? 53 of Choptes, no?
Elohim et arei ha kikar
vayishkor
Elohim et Abraham vayishalach et lot mitoch ha fecha ba ham afoch ba ham
foch et aharim
yirim asher ya asher be bahem lot.
When God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham,
right,
and He sent Lot from the destruction. When He overturned the cities where Lot lived there. What do you mean God remembered Abraham? He saved Lot. How do you remember Abraham? Abraham, look at the bottom Rashi. Do you mind? Page 53, Choftes on the bottom, left column. Yizkor Elokim et Abraham.
Mahu zechiraso shel Abraham al Lot.
What's Rashi's bother about?
The connection between Abraham to...
What is the remembering Abraham got to do with Lot?
Yeah.
What has God remembering Abraham got to do with saving Lot? That's Rashi's question.
Maybe that's why Lot was saved.
Yeah, exactly.
But why?
Because what does it mean?
So what? What does that protect you?
Yeah.
No, Rashi says something else. No?
Ma'u zechiro so.
Shall Avram alot?
Niskar shayalo yodea she sara ishto shall Avraham. It was remember that it was remembered.
Lot knew that Sarah is what?
His wife.
Avram's wife, right?
Yes, so therefore what?
The Shamanu read.
And Yeshama Shamar Avram the Mitzrayim al Sarah.
He heard Abraham tell the KGB in Mitzrayim that what? Turn the page. No, turn the page, no? Achoisi.
He didn't rat on him?
He didn't rat on his uncle. No, read, no? Achoisi he, no, read.
And Apoti, below Gila Adabar, now reveal it. Shaya Kas Allah.
He had mercy on his uncle?
Lefika Kas Akarish Borhu Allah. Hu Allah. So therefore God had mercy on Lot.
He had mercy on Uncle Abe. So therefore God had mercy on him.
I mean, that'd be a pretty low thing if Lot revealed
So because he wasn't a rat fink. I heard Rabbi Miller on a tape.
Yeah, because he would inherit
make
everything.
This point.
Huh?
It was a great nesoyon for Lot. Lot loved money. And he loved was the only heir. So it was a great nesoyon. To turn his uncle in, he would get all the millions, Joe. He had no heir. And he didn't do it. It was a struggle for Lot. God appreciated that. He had mercy on Uncle Abe. God had mercy on him.
Now, how can we turn later on, which what he did?
What did he do later?
When he went to Saddam.
No, this is afterwards. That's why God saved him. So even though he lived in Saddam, but the good deed that he had mercy on Avram and didn't turn him in, so God had mercy on him. So what we, Armilla made the point, I heard on one of the tapes, that what we think is
a small mitzvah,
in God's eyes it could be a big mitzvah.
If he was so great there, how come he returned himself?
What's so great not being a turncoat?
Yeah.
Well, the Ramila made the point that Hashem's eyes, it's not a small thing.
Not being a traitor.
When you have an asoyon, he had an asoyon. He loved money. He could have gotten a big. He would have been the sole inheritor. And yet he didn't do it. So we shall overcome. You hear what he said? Yeah.
Traitor.
Yeah. Now there's something amazing over here.
Have a good life, Rabbi.
Be well. Thank you. All the best. Yeah.
I'll give you one. You can have one for each eye.
Whatever.
That is something strange over here. Page 53, you gotta see this inside to believe it.
Page what?
Page 53.
Yeah.
Pasuk Chav Dalet.
53.
Chav Dalet. Vashem himtir al Sodom v'alamora gofris ve'esh me'esh asher nishmaim. Hashem made rain on Sodom, fire and brimstone. What is that? Sulfur? Gofris, gafrur. How do you say match in Hebrew? Gafrur.
Gafurim, yeah.
This is the root. Gofris means sulfur. Gafurim.
Sulfur on the tip of a match to light it.
That's right. That's why it's called gafurim. Don't you see why?
That's the chemical they use.
Yeah.
Sulfur and phosphorus, I think.
Sure, yeah. That's very.
But that means, yeah.
Gafrur, see, yeah. Gofris, sulfur, ba'esh, and fire, or phosphate and sulfur. It was like a nuclear holocaust. Yeah. What? Me'es Hashem in Hashemayim. What's strange about this verse?
Yeah, there was.
It says Yudke Vavke. Should have said Elokim. When God punishes, it always says Elohim. doesn't say Elokim. It says Yudke Vovke, that's Midas Sarachamim. You hear the question? It's a stark kasha. Are you with me on this? Whenever God punishes, always says Elokim. Here, it says Yudke Vovke. Midas Sarachamim destroyed the city? It should have been Midas Adin.
What's the answer?
The answer is that for them was an act of mercy. They were so depraved, they were so corrupt, that to put them out of their misery was an act of mercy.
And less sin will be less punishment in the next world.
Better for them too, and better for others.
It's like executing a murderer.
And
right?
Therefore it says Yudke Vovke, and it doesn't say Elohim. You write that down?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't get that.
Aaron, you explain to Frank the question first.
Question, but I didn't understand. Sorry, I'm really...
You understand the question?
Want me to say it, Rabbi?
Yeah, explain the question.
Why is it mentioned? You understand the question?
You understand, why is it mentioned Hashem and not Elohim? Because Elohim is
Din. And Yudke Vovke is Rachamim. What kind of Rachamim is it to nuke a city? But that's Rachamim?
It looks like it was so bad there was nothing with Rachamim anymore to do, huh?
No, that these people were so corrupt, yeah, so depraved, that to put them out of their misery was actually an act of compassion. For them and from their potential victims.
It's like when a murderer is executed, right? When they execute a terrorist.
Yeah.
It's good for them.
It's good for them. They can't kill nobody else. So therefore it says Yudke Vavke, isn't that strange?
Right, so get even more punishment.
That's right.